The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
It's The Hard Shoulder. It's Anton in for Kieran. Russian President Vladimir Putin has said that he's open to agreeing a 30-day ceasefire tabled by the US, but he has said that that needs to happen under Russia's own terms. With me is Dr. Shane O'Rourke, who's Senior Lecturer in Modern Russian History in the University of York. It appears at this point, Shane, that things are heading in the direction of ceasefire. Given the points that President Zelensky has previously made about Russia's capacity to breach the ceasefire agreements that they sign, should we be optimistic about this?
I would keep any optimism in check at the moment. I mean, this is a tried and tested Russian tactic. They will say that they're in favor of a ceasefire, but then load it with so many conditions that it makes it very difficult to achieve one. I think what they're trying to do is to put the responsibility on Ukraine or make Ukraine look as if it is refusing a ceasefire. But the Russians, you know, or the conditions the Russians are putting on, I heard Putin's speech a bit earlier about this, are such that it would be very difficult for Ukraine to accept them, I think.
Vladimir,
so I wouldn't be too optimistic, sorry.
Not at all. Vladimir Solohub is with us as well. He's a freelance journalist in Ukraine. Can you give us the reaction in Ukraine to what the Russians have been saying, Vladimir? Is there a sense of suspicion?
Anton, absolutely. Ukrainians are very cautious and very suspicious of any Russian promises or any Russian ideas of the ceasefire. If you remember, that's basically what started this whole debacle in the White House a few weeks ago, with President Zelensky trying to explain to Vice President Vance that Russians cannot be trusted because they have violated the ceasefire on numerous occasions, because if you remember, Ukraine has been fighting with Russia since 2014. So obviously this statement that was made by President Putin earlier today is met with a skepticism and caution here in Ukraine, and we understand that President Putin is meeting with Trump's envoy Witkoff later tonight, and we'll see what comes out of that meeting.
Now, as we speak, the NATO Secretary General is meeting with Donald Trump and has told him that he has broken the deadlock in Ukraine. Is there any truth to that, that this has catalyzed both sides at least to get to the table and possibly to progress negotiations?
Well, Anton, absolutely. Absolutely. I think that right now both sides are talking about, you know, this 30-day truce and possible that the ceasefire will indeed happen. But again, as you correctly indicated earlier, it all depends on the terms, what kind of terms the Russians will put forward.
Shane, I think you wanted to come in there as well, did you?
Yes, I do. I mean, what's catalyzed it, I think, is Trump forcing Ukraine or trying to force Ukraine into massive concessions, his overt sympathy for Russia, for Putin, is what's brought all this talk of a ceasefire about. And it's a ceasefire that will, if Trump has his way, will be based ultimately on Ukraine, surrendering, as far as I can see. It's not about negotiating a ceasefire from a position of strength as far as Ukraine is concerned. Trump is essentially trying to pull the rug out from under Ukraine. It was possible to get a ceasefire on those sort of terms at any stage over the past 3 years. But it's not one that's acceptable either to Ukraine or to the Europeans or indeed to the Americans before the advent of Trump.
Now, that being said, Shane, Trump's previously unwavering sycophancy in respect of Vladimir Putin, it has changed somewhat in the last 24 hours-ish, where he has threatened the Russian economy and said that he will bring it to its knees. Is that not an indication that he's putting, for the first time ever, some pressure on Russia?
Well, let's see. I mean, I have my doubts that he will actually follow through on any of this. He seems far more keen on putting pressure on Western Europe, on Canada. We saw his interview yesterday with the Taoiseach. That's where his real aggression seems to be. Whether he actually does anything against Russia, I'm extremely skeptical about.
Vladimir, one of the worries that your president had raised in the White House was that any pause in fighting would be used as an opportunity for Russia to rebuild its military, to restructure its campaign and to go again. Does that therefore make Ukraine particularly wary of continuing talks or even the prospect of a short-term ceasefire?
Well, yes, Anton. Short answer is yes, and this fear is shared not only by senior government officials, but by most of Ukrainians. Again, Ukrainians have been at war with Russia for more than 10 years now, and we've seen that any pauses in the fighting, Russia is used not for diplomacy, but for rearming, rearranging, and attacking Ukraine with a new force. And what we're seeing right now is even now when the talks about the ceasefire are ongoing, Russia is pushing very hard on the front line, specifically in the region of Kursk, where Ukrainians have entered in August of 2024 and have made this incursion into Russian territory. So right now they're doing everything possible to push Ukrainians out in order to, again, take away, if you will, these cards out of Ukraine's pocket for future negotiations.
Volodymyr, thank you very much for your time. That's Volodymyr Solohub joining us there from Ukraine. Shane, to go back to you for one final thing. In the same way as Russia may use the time to reorganize and prepare for further violence, is there an advantage to Europe in there being some breathing room for them to continue with the militarization and the additional support that they're trying to put in place for Ukraine?
Yes, there is some advantage, but I think, you know, this is a much longer term project, the remilitarization of Europe, the rebuilding of defense industries, basically the construction of an alliance system independent of NATO, given Trump's behavior. A 30-day ceasefire is going to do little in that regard. But again, it's part of that rebuilding of the military defense establishment, the support for Ukraine, especially military support. The financial support isn't a problem, but military support, that's a long-term project and requires a long-term commitment. The Russians will need time to rebuild their army. They've been so badly mauled in Ukraine over the past 3 years that the professional army of 2022 has long gone. So they're going to need a bit of time as well. So that gives Europe some time to get its act together and begin to recognize the threat that comes from the Russians in the long term.
Shane, thank you very much. That is Dr. Shane O'Rourke, Senior Lecturer in Modern Russian History in the University of York. And the latest emerging from that meeting with the NATO chief is Donald Trump, President of the US, saying that he would like to see a ceasefire from Russia.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.